I want to remind you that if you are stranded home and you can't make it in because of the weather, we do live stream our services, and so that's found on our website at visitfbc.com. It's visitfaithbaptistchurch.com, and so the services are live streamed. So if you can't get out or people on the radio, you miss it, you can always tune in on Sunday and or on Saturday. No, but see, on Sunday at the regular service times and Wednesday, and our services are live streamed for you so that you can get a best blessing out of that. I don't advertise that a lot because I like people to be in church. You know, that's where God wants us to be, an encouragement to others. But if you can't make it, be with us on live stream. Last week, my mom was on and my sisters. And so it's a good thing I didn't say much about family. But sometimes I use family for illustrations. But if you're on today, welcome. Good to see you with us today. And they're special. And so I trust the Lord's with them today. All right. So today is Thanksgiving. Should be every day. Now, that's what I used to think when I was around the meal. You know, the way the man's heart is through his belly, right? And I liked I used to like ham and you know, with the honey glaze on it. And some of you liked turkey better. All the pies, you know, I wasn't partial to any as long as I got a piece of each, you know. And, you know, I could eat all those good things. Of course, Thanksgiving's a little more difficult now. Can't have all those things since I'm old. But, you know, isn't it great to all the blessings God given to us? And my blessings don't quit on Thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. I actually have, with no food. That's such a blessing. God takes care of us so well. And I just want, you know, the song I picked, Count Your Blessings, you'll see goes along with the service. But Thanksgiving should be every day. And I mean that as should be, as it ought to be. And so as we look at it, you know, a lot of people have a tendency to want what everyone else has. Have you noticed that? Just want you to think about it for a minute. People want what they see everybody else has. Now, I don't know what age it is that we train people to want what everybody else has. Or do we even train them? Have you ever noticed that the little kids, before they can even hardly talk, they learn the word mine? That's the first word, mine, mine. And even if they can't say mine, if they can grab it, they take it. You know, there's a little rule, what's yours is mine, what's mine is mine. What I no longer want, if you take it, is mine. You know, everything is mine. We become adults, we know that it's not ours, but we sure do want it. So we look around us and say, boy, I want one of those too. You know, maybe it's a car. Man, some people have really nice cars. I wish I had one of those too, you know. And we want one like they have. I saw some of those old classics. You know, some restored pickups. You know, I'm partial to the old Fords. I always just like those big rounded fenders on them and everything. They just look so good. Of course, you know, Chevrolet looked good too, but not quite as good. And, you know, you've got all the special. You know, they put a lot of, craftsmanship in some of those older cars. And I just love that. And I looked at some of the older guns and some of the things people made. They're all decorated. They spent time on those things. And boy, wouldn't it be nice to have some of those? And, you know, what about, look at that guy's house. My goodness, it's a mansion. And wow, that'd be so awesome to have. Well, he's got a four-car garage in that thing. North Dakotans appreciate garages, right? Because we fill them up. But anyway, clothes, ladies, maybe they're, oh, I want that. That's bad. Oh, I wish I could get one of those. Or maybe shoes or, you know, a new gun for you guys. You're going like, only North Dakotans understand this, right? We got this down, you know. I can see, I need that. You know, sometimes my buddies get a new pistol or whatever, and I can go like, I need one of those. You know, my brain actually says I need one, and I have to get realistic and go like, you don't need that. But isn't that funny how when we see something, we think we need it? Have you ever noticed that if you keep looking at it online? Now, we don't have the wish books anymore. Remember when Sears and Roebuck used to send out the catalogs and all that? Am I dating myself here? But, you know, when I was a kid, I used to circle stuff in there and leave them out for the parents to see, you know, this would be good for birthday, this would be good for Christmas. And so I'd say, Mom, did you see my list? And you know what she always said? It's too big. So that didn't help in any way. Popularity. Everybody wants to be popular. Everybody wants to be noticed. Everybody wants to be the center of attention. Have you ever noticed how a little baby can just get everybody's attention? It's all about getting that last person in the room who's not looking to pay attention, right? They're good at it. How about beauty? Oh man, some of them are so pretty. I need to have that next anti-aging agent or whatever that makes you just so beautiful. Or guys, need strong piece of physical, you know, gym equipment. They got one out now that you don't even have to work at it. You just put it on and it electronically stimulates your muscles and you become a Hulk. Well, I fell for that and I've lifted weights before and I'm still the same puny me. It just doesn't work out, but you know, we look around and we say, well, I got to be like that. Next thing you know, you're all dissatisfied with what you do have and you're all worried about what you don't have. America is one of the wealthiest countries in the world, yet we have a very discontented people. Storage units are being built everywhere. I was going past Jamestown, you know, have you guys ever looked there to the, what is it, the east side of the road as you're going into Jamestown, and there's storage unit, and then another storage units, and then this storage units, and the storage units, and there's storage units downtown, and the storage units over there, and there's storage units over here in Carrington, and storage units over here. I don't even know where all the storage units are in Carrington anymore. What are we putting in all those storage units? They were putting up another one on the way to Jamestown. What's going on? What? People are broke, isn't it? We don't have what we want. Pastor, I don't have anything. I know also has. What is that storage unit? Well, do you ever think about that? We're filling them up with stuff we thought we had to have, and it's too expensive to just throw it away, so we keep it, but we want. In North Dakota, we get snow and ice. And I think that garages are almost a necessity to keep your car all ready to go. It sure makes a big difference, isn't it? Nice to just jump in a car that's all dry and drive out into this and then drive back in and take your groceries out of the rain and snow and wind. And wow, it's neat. But most people in North Dakota have a garage, but they can't get their car in. Right? It's too full of stuff. Or our basements and our attics, they're packed full. Or our closets are bulging, yet we need more. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the text here in the background that we're going to look at today is going to be in 1 Samuel. I'll give you a chance to find 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, that's in the Old Testament. Probably about a few books in, probably about seven. 1 Samuel, I didn't count them. 1 Samuel chapter 12. While you're turning there to 1 Samuel chapter 12, I want to give you a little background about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, if you've studied this, you'll remember the nation of Israel, they wanted a king. We want a king. And it's interesting, it's like, why in the world would you want a king if you were a free people? But, well, we want a king to be like the other nations. It's something interesting I've noticed in America lately, and though I'm not going to hopefully get into politics at all today or anything like that, it's not my goal. But I have noticed that a lot of people say, well, we need to do this because other countries do. And I'm going like, I like the way America is. I like the freedoms we have. I don't necessarily want to be like the other countries. And sometimes some folks are actually pushing communism. And I have to say, well, if you want communism, go there. Don't bring it here. You know, I love the country that loves God and has freedoms. But, you know, they want to be like the other nations. And I was looking at, and I was trying to figure out, why in the world did Israel want to be like the other nations? Did they not think this through? And as I was meditating on it, I realized, you know what? People often like someone else make the tough decisions in life. How many of you like making tough decisions? I don't like making tough decisions. I'm always worried I'll make the wrong decision. Right? My car is old and I got to get a new one. What should I get? You know, even though I'm a mechanic, I still worry because I'm a mechanic. And I know that it can look awful good and fall all apart on the inside. You can hide a lot of stuff. Praise the Lord, he helped me with the last one. It's got over 250,000 and it's still going. I'm saying, Lord, another one of those. You know, God is good that way, but yet, you know, I worry about making these decisions because what if I get a lemon? I can't afford another. How about you? How many of you ever worry about that? Or your house and it needs some repair, something else. It's like, what should I get or how am I going to know? So I do. I pray. I ask God to give me wisdom and I trust in that. And God's taking care of me. And like I said, he got me this car. And I was telling my wife, you know, when we went and looked at it, I said, well, there were some other features I really wanted. This one doesn't have. Remember I told this story maybe to you guys before. So I called up the dealer because the door lock fob was broke and I was going to see what one costed. And he said, what's the serial number? And I told him and he said, oh, that's got an auto start in. I go, oh, that's nice. I didn't know that. Of course, I couldn't afford the fob anymore then. We had to do one from a cheaper source. But I then asked him, well, with that serial number, what else does it tell you? Well, it told me that someone had changed the trunk lid, and I actually had a fancier version than I had thought I bought, and I had all those extra features I wanted. Can God do that? Can God provide you everything you want even when you don't know it? And I just said, that's all I could afford, and God pointed in it and said, this is for you. And it had everything I wanted in the long run. God is so good. But I just say, when I take my eyes off God and I think about things and doing decisions on my own, I start to get worried. And, you know, people like to have someone else to make tough decisions. And it's funny, but we like to blame shift for our problems. Have you ever noticed that? You know, if anything goes wrong, it's not my fault. And so if you have a leader to blame, that makes life even better. You make the decision, and I'm behind you. Don't worry, whatever it is, it's going to be fine. And so the leader does it, and it falls on his face, and they go like, I can't believe you did that. If you have no leader and you have to make your decisions based on what God says, it makes you way more accountable. And people don't like accountability. And so as I move along, I put down a lot of times people are just lazy. They don't like to do research. They just want to go with the flow. And you go like, well, that's not me. And I said, well, as I thought on this, you know, there is a biblical application to this. How much time do you actually spend in prayer and studying your Bible? Or are you counting on someone else to tell you what God's word says and how you should live your life and for the power to accomplish things? I'm encouraging you to realize that, you know what? Though God has given us pastors and God has given us teachers and God has given us many things, he still wants us to have a personal time with him. So don't neglect that and walk with him day by day. But here in this passage, Israel as a nation has just been too busy in their new land. Stop and think about it. Remember, they were in bondage in Egypt. God delivered them. Remember, they went to the promised land and they didn't have enough faith to go in. And so they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. The kids, and this is for you young people, they said, you know what? Our parents, God was real, but our parents didn't have faith to really trust God. We're going to trust God and we're going to go in and take that promised land and we're going to reap the benefits. And they did, by the way. Remember, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and then Ai, there was sin and they had defeat, but they won the victory and it went on and they had got the land. And as I was looking at the Bible, wow, it was really nice, this new land. But there was a problem. The Bible says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That means that just like the people that I observe, everybody thinks they know better. Right? Have you ever been doing a project and had someone come to help you, tell you how it should be done? You know, they didn't come to help you do it. They just came to tell you how it should be done. God wants us to do things his way. Israel was a godly nation. He had blessed them, but every man now was doing that which was right in their own eyes. They became selfish. And the selfishness led to ingratitude. And eventually that ingratitude of what blessings they had led to covetousness of wanting more. And that's what I'm worried that's going to happen in America to us, you and I, if we don't focus on the blessings that God has given to us. And so therefore, really, wouldn't you agree that every day should be a Thanksgiving day, realizing what God has provided for us and just thanking him and walking with him and saying, what do you have next? I guess I'll have to admit, sometimes I fall into this covetous cycle. I look over at the neighbors maybe and say like, wow, that's a really nice house, or man, that's a nice vehicle, I sure could use one. But the one I have right now gets me where I gotta go. Not afraid to jump in it and take off. Isn't it amazing how junky a vehicle can be when we think we need a new one? So, soon, God didn't seem like enough guidance for them. Making their own decisions because they didn't like the consequences and didn't want to be responsible for that, so they wanted a king. I've learned over the years that people need someone to follow or something. At first, it's themselves after they forsake God, because you see, God created us to need him. So if you no longer need him, you're going to start following yourself. I'm as smart as God, right? How many of you think you're as smart as God? And everybody's in here like, no. Pastor, what are you saying? Well, I'm not. I know what your spiritual side is saying, but I know what our flesh does sometimes. How many of you have ever worried, how am I going to deal with this, knowing that God could take care of it? So we do that. And so first they forget about God because they're trusting in themselves. And next, it has to be a leader whom they think can give them what they want. Have you ever noticed, and don't get into politics on this, but have you ever noticed why people vote for candidates for president or leaders in America? They're looking for a leader that can give them what they want. Human nature. Here's a fact. God is the only leader who will make your life fulfilling. And isn't it sad that most people will choose anyone else but God? Anything but godly. Israel in this situation chose a king. Now, after the fact, God showed them that, you know what, their choice for a king really wasn't very good because he had been the one that had been providing for them, and now they would only have a man to do so. If you read the passage of Scripture, it was harvest time, and God sent a storm to show them that, hey, God's control even the weather. They had forgotten that. You know, how many people are like, I don't need God. I work with these. I've had people tell me, I don't need God. I have these. I'm going like, what's that? Well, my talents, my skills. Some say, I'm a farmer. I don't need God. Remember the rich, foolish farmer in the Bible that says, hey, I've built big barns. They're full of grain. I don't need anything. I'm set for years. God says, ah, fool, this night shall thy life be required of thee. You know, one day I was doing fine, working really hard, and that night I was having chest pains, and the next morning I'm in the ambulance on the way to the hospital for eventual open-heart surgery. You don't know where you'll be tomorrow. Do we need God? You bet we do. How long does it take without rain before we're in trouble, farmers? Who provides the rain? Well, it just happens, Mother Nature. I'm afraid not, folks. It's God Almighty, and we need to remember that. So Israel's in this situation. They've chosen this king because of their selfishness, and they're walking away from God. And God made them realize that, you know what? Your desire for a king was actually rejection of me. And they're going, like, we didn't mean to do that. Look at here in 1 Samuel 12, verses 18 through 24. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And the Lord, and all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not. Now it's interesting here, wasn't it their God? You know, sometimes people come to me and say, Pastor, you can pray, but I can't. Every person that trusts Christ as their Savior, you can pray. And if you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, pray and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and he'll save you. It's just a quick prayer, admitting you need him for eternal life, and he will save you. And then he'll answer your prayers from then on and take care of you. But anyway, they asked him to pray because they weren't on praying ground. It says, when we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. You see, they realized that it wasn't their first mistake. This took time. This was selfishness over time. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside. For then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. Ah, so what happens when you quit following God? What is it to say? God says, follow him, because if you quit, what you go after is vanity. You know, like I told the folks, I was watching a comedian, and he was unhappy with his life. He didn't want to have anything to do with God or Jesus, but he found out that, you know what? Everything else was vanity. And he ended up trusting Christ and finding fulfillment in his life, just like I have, and like you can, or have. So quit following the vain things. Is it possible for a Christian to get caught up in the things of this world and vanity, even after they found the Lord? Yes, it is. So the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you good and the right way. So the preacher here, Samuel's going like, hey, my job is to preach the truth, whether you listen or not. So I'm going to do my job, but I'm encouraging you to listen to what God has to say for your life and apply it. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. How can I get stuff that satisfies is my question right now. Well, in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Does that make sense to you? The Israelites already had everything that they needed to be happy, and that was God. He had delivered them from bondage in Egypt, which is a picture of the world in sin. How many of you were disappointed with your lifestyle before you met Jesus? I mean, it was fun for the moment. The Bible is very clear. Some people say, well, sin is not fun. Really? Sin is fun most of the time. The only problem is the consequences are devastating. And when we realize that the consequences of sin are bad, we need to turn to the Lord, and God will deliver us from that bondage of sin. And the Bible says here he brought them to Canaan with a high hand. High hand means showing them many miracles and his great power. And he taught them how to have faith. And by faith, it says the people conquered and possessed the beautiful homes that they had. If you stop and think about when the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, remember your Bible? Anybody know what they got in the cities besides the first one? The first one was God's city, remember? He said, I want everything in this city to be mine, so all the gold and the jewels, bring them to the house of God and burn the rest. But when you get to the next city, that's yours. And so they did that over and over, and they gained all these cities. And the Bible says when they got there that it had just been harvest time. So guess what that meant? They got houses already built. They had orchards and olive yards already planted. They had fields where the crops had been taken off of and put into the storehouses. Now, man, can you find a better way to end the season than that? It was awesome. God had taken care of every need. And now they have been eating manna for 4 years. Now they get to eat corn. Can you imagine how good that tastes? I'm one of those people that likes variety of food to a point. My wife says I have my go-tos. But I don't like them every day. How about you? I like that variety. But every once in a while, I get something I haven't had in a long time. And oh, is that good. How many of you have a favorite food you get once in a while? It's just like, oh, that's good. I wouldn't want to eat every day, but oh. And so they came 40 years of manna, which was very good sustenance, but for 40 years? What do you have for breakfast today? Manna. Oh, what'd you have for dinner today? Manna. What'd you have for supper? Stewed manna, minced manna, mashed manna. Yeah. Today we get corn. In other words, when we talk about, they would call, when it was translated in English, it was translated into the Old English. So, you know, if it said maize, that was corn. So corn meant grain. So, you know, we could have had bread, all kinds of good stuff. I like bread. How about you guys? Bread, fresh bread. How many, whenever fresh bread hits in my house, you got to watch it because a half a loaf goes just like that. That's just the two of us. And that's mostly me. I like fresh bread. They had it wonderful. They praised the Lord all through that winter. They praised the Lord in the spring. Man, look at this. The crop is ready. The fields are cleared already. It's ready to go. I mean, isn't it nice to have a properly prepared field when you go to plant? I don't know, farmers. I'm not a farmer. I'm just assuming that there's a difference between something that's been neglected and something that was ready. They went out and they planted what God has given them, but then they got busier, you know. If I just spend a little more time and skip a little bit of God, I'll even have a little more profit. And God will understand it, and I'll give that to him, some of it to him. And wait a minute. How about we keep the balance? God says, occupy till I come, but always keep him first. So we have here, that's what they did for a little while. Homes and their vineyards and their crops and lands. And, you know, the dishwasher broke. The clothes machine went on the fritz, you know, the dryer quit working, and they started getting caught up in the everyday things. And next thing they know, they've forgotten about God, and they were running after more stuff. Couldn't the God who gave them all this other stuff take care of their lives? Were they working 24/7 and forgetting about God when they came in? No, they were focused completely on God when he gave them the blessings. What happens is we forget that God can provide the blessings if, well, can I give you Matthew 6:33 and I'll go on? Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You guys believe that? Can God provide you the blessings? Israel could look back and say, yes, he did. But now they're at a point in their lives where they want a king. You see that? How did they get there? Well, soon they were settled in, living, eating, working, and forgetting. Israel found themselves in trouble. They had forgotten to keep God as number one in their lives. They had made foolish decisions. But there's a good thing. In this passage, they came to their senses. Did you see that? They said, we're in trouble. We sinned. God, what should we do? And I put down here, don't worry about it. God's going to fix it. And I have for the last part of the message, how to fix your life so it is fulfilling and rewarding. How many of you want a life that's fulfilling and rewarding? I do. So number one, God says, realize that you need God. Did you see that? If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, a lot of people believe in God. Remember the scripture, John 14, where it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You guys know that one? Believe also in me. You see, a lot of people believe in God, but they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So if you believe in God, then just go ahead and admit that you're a sinner, not worthy to be in God's presence, and so somebody's got to fix it. Well, Jesus came and died to pay your sin debt and offers you the gift of salvation. And so if you'll ask Jesus for that and you'll accept it, he'll give it to you. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God. So anyway, let's make sure that we know we're on our way to heaven because we're saved. Number two, in verse 20, what's it say in verse 20? It says, only serve the Lord with all your heart. How many of you know the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not covet. And the list goes on. There's how many of them there in that passage? Ten, right? Ten Commandments. The first four, Jesus said, could be covered up in one statement. What was the statement that Jesus said when he was on the earth that would cover the first four? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. If you love God, are you going to curse God? If you love God, are you going to worship any other God? See, so they're taken care of. The last six deal with man's condition, remember? And Jesus said that can be summed up in a phrase. What was that? Love your neighbor as yourself. All right? And so here Jesus is repeating it. Serve God with all your heart. He says, turn not aside. Oh boy, what does it mean to turn aside? That's what I did when I was a kid a lot. We'd go for a walk. Get ready to go for a walk. That was one of the things my family did once in a while. If we didn't go for a country drive, we went for a walk. Maybe you guys went for a country drive too. Dad would say, get in the car if you want. And all the kids would jump in and all the windows would be down. We had no air conditioning, you know, and we'd get in that big old boat that we had back then for a car. We'd all hang out the windows. And he would drive through the fields looking at his crops, see how they're doing here and there. That was fun. And then sometimes we would just walk down the country road together as a family. Or we would go sometimes to a park when we were down south and didn't have the farm to walk on. And we would walk through the Tennessee things down to the waterfalls and different places like that. And there's a trail. But I was a kid. And you know what trails are for? To be veered off of. Hey, what's this over here? Oh, what's this over? Hey, don't get off the trail too much. Well, why not? Don't want you to get hurt. Oh, I won't get hurt. Mom and Dad knew that there was copperheads, cottonmouths, or water moccasins, whatever you want to call them, and all kinds of other critters, killer hornets' nests, yellow jackets' nests, all this stuff off the trail. But for a kid, there's nothing off that trail but adventure. This trail is boring. I need more. And sometimes we say, you know what, God's way to heaven is boring. Oh, no, it's not. It's not boring, but we have a tendency to veer off the trail. How about you guys? You realize that? And he's saying, look, serve him with all your heart or you're going to turn aside. If your focus is not on the Lord, you're going to fall off and do things that you shouldn't be doing. If you turn aside, you'll waste your life with vain things in verse 21. And what does it mean that they are vain? Vanity means without profit. Don't laugh at me, but I'm old. And some people are going like, you're not old, Pastor. Well, a lot of people would consider me old, and I don't know how much longer I have, but I do know this. There's a lot of things I've done in life that mean absolutely nothing now. Those things were vanity. I know some people who have worked their whole lives for money and then gotten sick. And do you know how quickly money goes when you go to a nursing home or somewhere like that? Was all that money accumulated for good or for vanity? Folks, how much do you need before you can be pleased and serve God? Let me ask you, go back. The children of Israel were taken into all that prosperity because they had nothing but trusted God, and God gave it to them. After they got it, they got all worried about getting more stuff, and then what did they end up with? A forsaking of God and a desire for something else, and God showed them their mistake, and they're going like, we are sorry. I didn't realize where we were going. And God's doing the same thing for us. Don't turn aside. Don't go after vanity. It won't profit you in the end. And remember this in verse 22. If you'll follow God, he won't forsake you because he's the one who brought you this far. It also says, don't be guilty of sinning against God by not praying for your brethren. No, you're saying, no, that was Samuel. God said Samuel had to pray. What does the Bible say about New Testament believers? That we're to pray for one another. Did you pray for me this week? If you did, thanks. I appreciate it. Because you know what? Without your prayers for me, I couldn't do this job. I need prayers. You know what? I prayed for you. I was over here early today. I had extra time today. I couldn't sleep. Maybe God just wanted me to spend extra time. But guess what I did? I prayed for you. Thought of every person's name I could think of, and I prayed for you, and then everybody that I couldn't think of, I prayed that God would bring them and that they would be blessed by the message today. And I pray that everybody is blessed by the message today. Your job to pray for one another. Don't forget to pray. Now let's see. The fourth point. Don't be guilty of ignoring good preaching. You say, well, what do you mean there? It says, moreover, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and cease to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. But what good does it do if the preacher preaches the true and the right way if people don't listen? And so be careful. Usually I hear some things like this when a person's not close to God. I just don't get anything out of going to church anymore. And I want to encourage you. Then pray before you go. Read your Bible before you go. Well, why do I need to go if I've just read my own Bible? Because you're going to get a whole bunch more when you come. But the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to give you a message from God's Word. And then it says there, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Now, I got to ask you this. This may be more of a personal message than you're used to, but I have to look you in the eye. And so, I mean, I'm looking you in the eye, but I'm not. But what has God done for you? Has God done anything great for you? Has he answered your prayer? Has he blessed you in some way? It's saying here, think about how great things he hath done for you. If you're saved, that's enough right there, but he's not stopped there. So, verse 24. Have you thought about some great things God's done for you? Well, then only fear the Lord. Now, did you get that? Fear the Lord. How many heard that? Fear the Lord. How many of you got the only? You say, what? That first four-letter word that says only fear the Lord. How many of you fear other things? I do. Like bills. You guys ever fear bills? How am I going to pay for this? If you ever go to the hospital, you'll find out they can make bills that you don't know how to pay for. How am I going to pay for this? I get fearful. But it says, I'm not to fear that. Who should I fear? Only the Lord. God. I'm not going to worry about that bill because I'm going to walk with you and you're going to take care of it, right? Because I didn't get that bill by wasting. I got that bill because you allowed this to happen, right? Is God going to pay all the bills of our foolish vanity? All right, but if we follow the Lord, does he take care of our past? I'll share tonight with you what God has done for me on that particular one. It's a blessing, and tonight's blessing night, so I'll share that with you tonight. But fear God and serve him with all your heart. All right, so the message title was Thanksgiving Must Be Every Day. You say, that's not what it was. It was should be every day. I know, but Thanksgiving must be every day. Psalm 68:19 says this, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. You write that one down and memorize it this week. That was Psalm 68:19. Here's another one. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Oh, let me see. What are some of the benefits? Let me throw out some. I'm thinking here. These are my benefits. What are yours? I'm thinking of a warm house. After I leave here, I get to go back to a warm house. On the way, well, when I get to the warm house, I have food. How many of you have food in the cupboard? Do you realize that if you were in Ukraine right now, those people don't have homes, they have no heat, and they don't have food. If our country was at war with another country, what would you have? You ever thought? Has America not been blessed to not have war on their own soil in a long time? Anyway, I have friends. If you're not my friend, don't tell me. But I have friends. I have family. I have clothes. I have peace. I have prosperity in the Lord. And the list goes on. Wait a minute. The Bible says, I'm not to forget his benefits. That means you too. Do you think of any? Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what? Right now, I am positionally in heaven at the right hand of the Father in Jesus Christ. Now, practically, I'm still here, but I still have a job to do for the Lord. But when he's finished with that, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and I'm looking forward to that. How about you? And so there's another blessing. So, in conclusion, I have three things. Let's serve God rather than argue with him. How many like that one? Let's serve God rather than argue with him. Let's serve others rather than covet what they have. And let's make every day Thanksgiving. Isn't that awesome? God has been so good to us. I hope today that if you know Christ as your Savior, that you'll put him first in all things and start thanking him for his blessings and quit trying to gain all the vanity of the world. If you're not saved today, will you trust Jesus as your Savior? If you're saying, Pastor, I just don't understand what you're talking about, please catch me after the service and I will take you aside somewhere in private and just answer any questions you have and let you make the choice. Because guess what? Trusting Jesus is a personal choice. But let's sing 221. Let's stand. Hymn of invitation. I'll let God speak to your heart. And we'll be dismissed. 221. Let's stand as we sing.